Blog Talk Radio. All too often these days, the factory whistle is falling silent in America. But there is a way to get American workers back to work. Start buying more American.
Let's stop that right now. We only got an hour.
Okay.
Not the commercial. How you doing, Rebecca?
I'm doing. You know.
Good. If anybody's looking for a chat room, it will not come up for me. I don't know why. Everything else is here but the chat room.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what I was kind of, you know, I always get in there. So I thought maybe it was just not up because the show wasn't on.
Hold on for a minute. We're having, what's your, yeah, reload it because we're here. We're talking. It said 5 seconds. Okay, we do have now a chat room, I think.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes, I'm in the chat room. According to Cinnamon, they're waiting for the host to call in.
Yes.
I'm here. I'm the host. Anyway, go ahead, Scott. Take it away.
Well, how have just been a couple of weeks and make sure everybody's doing okay?
Well, I'm doing fine.
You are?
I'm doing good.
Okay. She's talking to us.
I'm talking to you. Yeah, I'm recovering. I tried to get back to work. You know, they called us all the people who are on medical leave. They called us back to do our limited work, and then they were running, couldn't keep the lines running because people kept calling off, and you know we have a huge layoff, so they were without people. So they called all these people back, and then. Waited till they got part-time workers back in. So they got the part-time workers in, and then they let us all go again. So I worked for about a week and took a lot of harassment on the line for being there. And, you know, I'm in my recovery process. It's been an amazing experience, you guys, working in a factory kind of setting.
Well, yes, it
There's
is.
There is a book to be written here, and I plan to do it.
There you go.
I absolutely am.
Good idea.
And if anybody would like to contribute to that book, you feel free to write me because I will talk to you.
There you go. Right now, it's still saying we're not on the air. My timer is working. It says, it just what? I just popped up. We're live. Okay. I could have been MFing everybody because you just said we're live. But it says, I got a clock on my studio clock. It says we've been on the air for 5 minutes and 30 seconds. There you go. Who knows?
There's the chat.
Chat,
we got chat
here.
Coming up.
Yeah, chat's here. All right. So, Rebecca, you're back doing whatever you do.
Which is who knows what.
you know, one time I had to have my hand operated on for trigger finger. That's what they called it. And it
really was.
Oh, yeah. That's when my bird finger, I'll call it, my ring finger, would just stay down in my palm of my hand. And I have to bring it out, work it hard for a few minutes so I could use my hand. So I finally went in and had that taken care of it with my ligaments tendons, I think. They had to do something there. And while I was recuperating, they put me on, I had to sort bolts. And that was a good job, sorting them bolts into these different boxes. So
yeah.
I was sitting down. That was a good thing.
Well, they won't let me because they're fighting my workers' comp still. So they're, you know, we're up for gold and can't have any work-related injuries for gold.
Oh.
So I didn't, according to them, didn't get hurt on the line. So.
Well, that to everybody. I was on sick leave and I, with my trigger finger, and it took, I was already back to work. And back on the line working, and finally my workman's comp came through.
Uh-oh.
It back paid me.
Yeah. Well, it would be nice. The problem that I'm having with it is because I don't get any compensation or anything. We don't have our insurance coverage isn't covering the medical I need. So I'm caught in a between a rock and a hard place. I can't get the treatment I need to get me back until I get back and make some money so I can get the treatment. So I do okay. I do okay for a while. Huh?
Your insurance doesn't cover this?
No, it won't cover my treatment. So I'm, you know, kind of stuck. And it's, you know, disappointing because, you know, I always give everybody the benefit of the doubt. So, you know, I really felt like the company, the bull in our department seen it actually happen. So I didn't have any reservations that that they would take care of me. But
right.
That hasn't happened. And I just, it's very sad. I get grief from the people on the line because the person on the line got in trouble for not training me on, I guess, because I've gotten nothing but hassle. It's been a pretty nasty kind of experience. And then, you know, to have the company do that. So it's been rather discouraging. But if nothing else, it's a real learning experience. And the reason, you know, I've never hid why I wanted to go there and to work with EAP and help people. And it sure has been an eye-opening experience to really see, you know, what happens on the line and how people, you know, are treated there by the company and the union and each other.
In EAP, you've got to be one of the boys. Come on. You got to be
well,
one of
the boys. Well, and that's what... That's what I learned. And, you know, it was really discouraging because I talked a little bit to Scott about this when the elections came up because I guess there were a couple of viewers or listeners that were upset thinking I went there for a padded job or something. And you know what? Yeah. If that job was done correctly, it should never be an assigned job.
Absolutely.
I went there thinking I would have to prove who I am and my qualifications. And, I mean, that job should be harder than the chairman's job because you're dealing with everybody in that plant who's union on an everyday basis and their issues and difficulties. And you know, that should be a job that is way bigger than one person, number one. That's my first issue with them. But then it should just it should never be seen as a padded job. Oh, my God. I mean, like I said, it's a real eye-opener. And people aren't they're not being taken care of, I don't believe. And this has nothing to do with our current rep. This is the program that Chrysler offers is my issue. The plant doesn't understand it. They don't understand the possibilities the contract says we can do. It's just not what it should be. And, you know, I have, for the time I've been there, not said much about it other than I came because I really wanted to be able to help. But, you know, now I feel like I've been as nice as I can about it and as diplomatic and pleasant. And now I'm just like, hello, people. These people at this plant deserve some help, you know. And, it's not a local issue. It's a corporate issue. This program is not what the plant needs. It needs something way more. And so that's just my soapbox, you know.
Got you over.
Hey, how are you doing? Am I back now?
You've been back.
Oh.
Hi,
okay.
Scott.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
I've been griping.
I've been listening, and you know, I'm sure that has nothing to do with you running for an office.
Oh no, it really has. It's just been an issue that's been there, and I had hoped that if I got in that office, I would be able to make an impact in that area. Is what I had hoped for.
Sure.
And you know, and just be able to help people. I really believe, I've talked to anybody that will listen to me, that I don't know how other locals are, but I don't believe our local utilizes committee man positions as they're supposed to be. And I'm not saying anything derogatory against any one person of our committee. I'm talking in general of the makeup and the layout I don't know that these people, when I ran, I tried to educate people on what a committee man is supposed to do. Okay, you know, they shouldn't be walking the floor. That's the steward's job. Your committee man should be doing other things, and the go-between between our local stewards and the next step up at regional and national, and working on our contracts and doing all kinds of stuff like that. And that's what I don't see getting done. And that's where I see all of our needs as a local plant falling through the cracks big time. There's leaps of stuff falling.
Right.
You know, because it's happening.
At General Motors, for instance, what she's referring to is the steward was what we call the district committee man. And then what she's calling the committee man is what we refer to as the shop committee at large. So, you know, your shop committee at large is out walking the floor. That's that could be good or that could be bad. Just saying, you know. But
well, you know, it's certainly good to. I mean, they need to be connected with people, but when they're either spending all their time on the floor, or they're not, or they're sitting in an office not doing that job that they're supposed to be doing, is where
if they're out on the floor, that means that in your case, the stewards or the district committee men aren't getting the job done. So there's only two ways of looking at that. I mean, either they're out there to support them or they're not getting something done, and then the shop committee at large or the committee men, as you refer to them, has to come out and see what's going on. Evidently, there's some unrest on the floor. Just by listening to you, I mean, there's some unrest on the floor. And what I was going to ask earlier before my phone dropped the call was, you're a seniority worker and you're laid off, and they brought temps back in to run?
Yes. There are temps back in to run.
Was that agreed to upon locally, you know?
No, they're not supposed to be working when full-time workers are available. It is a very ugly situation down here right now. And the reason they're saying they can do it is because they don't need workers throughout the week. The people are calling off on Fridays and Saturdays mostly. So if they were to bring back a full-time worker, they would have to work them all week, whereas if they bring back a part-time worker, they only have to work them on the weekend. See what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's what they're saying.
It still doesn't abrogate the idea of it is that I have a full-time seniority worker laid off right now, and I'm using temporaries to whether it's be two or three times a week. It's all about saving money right now. And,
right. Well,
you know, you got bills to pay, and there's people who are like you that got bills to pay that'd rather be working 40 hours a week right now than trying to collect unemployment, because we know how unemployment works. You know, you only get so many weeks. The subpay goes, but you know, now it goes by your seniority and weeks worked, and it's just a way to put the screws on the people. It is.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And our contract says that full-time workers are supposed to have a right to go to a part-time status during layoff times if that's what they choose. So now, whether or not, I mean, there was something said at the last union meeting that they reached out and asked full-time workers if they wanted to come back. Well, I was sitting at a table where there was probably three full-time workers said they never got a call. Well, I never got a call.
Right.
I'd have gone back. So
right.
What did they put into it? I don't know what they put into it as far as trying to get offer that work to full-time workers. You know, I'm an advocate of part-time workers, so I don't ever, say anything bad about anybody getting to work. But I have always said that, well, you know, that's what the contract says, and that's so they have that right. So the full-time workers have that right. If they want to go and work part-time, they have that right, and they should be given the opportunity, you know, over them bringing part-time workers back. So, you know, another one of my pet peeves we don't want to get into.
three days a week, your salary would still be better than unemployment.
Right. Yeah,
that,
especially
you know,
the subpay is really screwed up from what I understand. People aren't getting what they're supposed to get, and it's pretty messed up. They were told to file one way the first couple of weeks, and they had to go back and refile because it was wrong. And you'd think that this plant has never gone on a layoff.
Right.
But,
right.
But, you know, I know that's not true. So.
Well,
I,
you know, as the temperance came in, not just at your plant, but other plants, and I'm going to refer to, like, Arlington, Texas, and to Wentzville, excuse me, where they brought in hundreds of temporaries, and people still had a hard time getting time off, which I'm sure they were promised. Us, we went to stay operation. If you want a day off, you have to ask for a Saturday off 30 days in advance. Sometimes they take almost 30 days to answer you, too, which doesn't help you if you're trying to plan. I mean, my word, how many of us really know what's going to happen in a month, you know, in 30 days' time from today? Well, I'm going to need a day off or not, you know. So there's ways for them to make, and management. And in some cases, I would almost say that, in my opinion, that it looks like a collusion with the union as far as getting time off. In the meantime, you got a bunch of temporaries coming in, and they're utilizing these temporaries. And in, as you remember back to contract time, I said this was a bad idea because Dennis Williams, Cindy Estrada, Norwood Jewell, and Jimmy Settles all got these contracts set up with three more new tiers. The old contract for all of us was, we called them the flex worker. Now they're just referred to as the short-term temporary. Just like as Tier 2 workers, they're still there. They just have a new name. They call them in-progression workers. By the way, they'll never make what the seniority worker, like myself, is making. They top out below what we're making.
Right.
And now, past the flex or the short-term temporary, we have long-term temporary and permanent temporary. The reason I'm talking about temporary, you know, because in light of your situation, is I haven't told Don this yet. He's going to just enjoy this one.
I'm here.
What we have, you're going to love this one. What we have is in certain departments or plants, they're letting people go home when they come in because we have temporaries here that, well, we didn't plan for, but they brought them in, and a lot of these temporaries, by the way, are also on a call-in system. They call them as they need them.
Really?
You get real short, get short on manpower, extra call-ins, whatever. Next thing you know, they're on the phone calling these people. See, this is how we abrogate overtime, so we don't have to do overs and unders. There's some there. I'm not going to say there isn't, but there's, you know, instead of getting over and under coverage, we'll call these people at 11 o'clock at night, or we'll call them at 3:10 in the afternoon, or we'll call them at 7:15 in the morning. Can you please come in? And some of these people are being asked to do multiple shifts. So what we have is we have these temporaries then, they're letting people go home. They want to go home. Okay. That's cool. I said this a long time ago. Had I been shop chairman, you would increase the AR population inside the plant. You'd always have ARs available. People wouldn't have to never be denied vacation time because you'd have ample coverage. If people want to go home, they go home, you get an AR, put them on the job. Not a problem. Working very well in Janesville. I understand it's closed, but working very well at Janesville. So, and they take it to the next level now. This is what you're going to love. you come in and you want to go home for the whole week, Don, you can go home for the whole week. Excuse.
Really?
The whole week.
Things have really changed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, get this. If you're management and you ask me to go home all week long and I go home, oof, I'm gone. Okay? Now, I don't have to pay you for that week. I'm getting the help that I need there in the plant for below half cost. And how many weeks are you going to let me have off? Because if we start looking back at our contractual language, you have to work so many hours and so many weeks to qualify for certain bonuses, don't you?
Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff going on right now, and it just happens to be falling right behind all these elections. A lot of locals are having their elections right now. After our first round of elections went off, we got a letter from our top chairman. Said that to respond to continued demand and pressure from our customers, the plant has notified the UAW of their intention to increase the final line speed by 1.5 jobs per hour.
Wow.
Isn't that nice? The line's beat up. And people forget. And so at the end of this letter, the last paragraph, they said that they're going to be adding 70 jobs to the plant to facilitate the line rate increase. Why 70? Because that keeps the average job utilization for the plant exactly the same. So we're going to hire 70 more people. 70 new jobs added than other plants are indefinitely laid off is important. So,
Lance laid off people.
Yeah.
Didn't, yeah. Why aren't
Lansing people? Has people. They just went out Friday. 600 of them got laid off.
Right.
And I believe that's an indefinite layoff because they lost the shift because they moved down to Spring Hill.
I believe they lose third shift in July. I'm not positive. Dick Dangin sent me an email about it.
And what did it say?
I believe in July, third shift will be gone. So there's a lot of people we can grab. We can grab 70 off of them pretty easy.
Right.
Keep working.
I'm
imagining,
I believe,
assume they want to pay low wages for these 70 jobs.
Well, that's what the letter implies.
Are
they talking about hiring permanently? Because I'll tell you, we have part-timers working up in Detroit. Our part-timers are working in a couple of Detroit plants right now.
We got part-timers working everywhere. At every facility that's covered under the UAW, as far as the big three are concerned, there's temporary in every plant.
I mean, I know that, but I'm talking about our personal, from Toledo, our Toledo employee part-time workers are up in Detroit plant as we speak.
Yeah. It's because the national contract allows them the opportunity to bring in various types of temporary workers. They're going to. What I'm getting out of this is that they're adding 70 jobs to the plant. Now, it doesn't say that these are going to be permanent people. It just says 70 more jobs.
That's what I was just wondering. I mean, because I've been surprised anyway that there aren't people in the Detroit area or these areas that are laid off and they don't want to go back to work. Instead, sending.
Where I'm at locally, Don, how far would you say Lansing is from Flint? 50 miles?
Well, from where
maybe?
I where I'm at, 40, it was 40. I live in Gainesville, so I'm closer. I just hop on 69. I'm, you know, 40 miles later, I'm there, up maybe 42.
Okay.
But
between, how far was this from the plant?
Oh, geez. Not too far. Not too far at all. It was downtown. I don't even think it's open.
You
gotta walk
what would you
down along the road.
Oh, so maybe 60 miles from Flint then?
Yeah.
From Flint Assembly? Maybe 60 miles?
Maybe.
Okay. So what we do is we do have people at Lansing Delta laid off right now. There are people laid off. That was in the news. They are laid off. You have people laid off on Lordstown. You have people laid off in Detroit at Hamtramck. You have people laid off in Grand River, which is on the other side of Lansing. You've got people laid off at Metal Fab, which is a mile, let's say a mile and a half if you go by the road. You know, less than a half a mile as the bird flies, but you got people laid off. Now, when you have seniority people and you're still working temporary, I have a problem with that because, like Rebecca said, we should have the opportunity to go in and work 40 hours a week instead of them. And I'm not bad-mouthing the temporary. I'm not.
I know you're not.
But a seniority worker, because of their seniority, have the right to go in and work those hours instead of a temporary. And the reason I told you about what's happening at our facility for that reason is because they're starting a whole new gambit. Dick D'Angelo's talked about narcotizing people with overtime. Well, they're narcotizing these temporaries by coming in and making all this money while the seniority worker gets to go. And what happens is they get real, can I say ambitious, maybe be the word? And the temps got to all vote in our local elections. Now, you know, I understand there's dues-paying members, but I also understand that they're still a temporary employee. And they voted on the outcome of what happens, knowing that they could be gone tomorrow and never come back to our plant. But they got to vote in the direction of our local. So, you know, it's hard to have that conversation with people. So that being said, they did vote. They did vote. And our top chairman came out. Huh?
But the sad part of that is that, at least in our plant, those part-time workers were heavily influenced by the union to vote the way they did.
Sure.
No, it wasn't the company that influenced them to vote that way. It was the union.
Sure.
So the,
it happens
the,
everywhere.
It was, they were influenced by them. And so the leadership of the local union got what they wanted in that plant. And ours, anyway. So I have my stand is very difficult. I mean, I know you agree. When you bring somebody in, they're union paying members and dues paying, and they do have some rights. But the company and or I don't know how much the union has played into the beginning part of this, but certainly they are utilizing it now, is to influence those part-time workers. I know that I feel very strongly that our part-time workers at the last election were pissed off. They were deliberately told negative things and told that they didn't care, they didn't know what they were talking. They were insulted to the point that they did not show up to vote. And the reason that happened because they were going to vote against the establishment and the good old boy returning to, so they didn't want him to show up. They pissed him off, and they didn't show up.
Right, and that's also by design.
Right.
I mean, it's Manipulation. That's what it is. It's manipulation of the system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not right, but what I'm saying is we're utilizing these temporaries for more than what we had contractually agreed to or agreed upon. So what do we have now? We got Solidarity House. Who's aware of all this? Were they playing all this? I can only speculate. I mean, I'm just looking at the new grievance procedure. I'm looking at all these temporaries. I'm looking at people being able to go home. They're still disciplining people. It's, I think there's an end game here. I'm not Dick Dangin, so I don't have a crystal ball that can say how this puzzle pieces together. But there's something there. I'm just saying, there's something there. Like I said, in light of the new national agreement that we all have, there's a game being played. I haven't figured it out yet, but there's a game being played. And I don't think it's going to do well for us, the seniority workers.
Well, that's a big risk they're taking, because I know down here that they are wishing and hoping that this right to work goes through, because they want out of the union so bad they're, you know, ready to jump out the windows. So, continuing how they are is awfully risky, I think. They're going to end up losing the union.
I'm glad you brought that up, because you know what? I have heard... since our last show, I've heard that there have been some temps who have chosen to go other places for employment because they couldn't just wait around by the phone to get a call to see if they were needed to come to work or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's the travesty of the legacy that falls now on Dennis Williams. That will forever follow you because you whip past the tier two that you were so famous for and created tier three, four, and five. And now we have temporaries who are called on call-in status. That falls on the president of the UAW and the vice presidents who all negotiated these contracts and pushed them. And they pushed them for a reason. Haven't figured out why. They pushed them for a reason. And it's working out in the corporation's best interest right now because it's saving a lot of money. Real quick, side note. The Communication Workers of America, CWA, went on strike Friday going through Monday. They've been over a year without a contract. This is, Don and I know how this kind of strike works out. We call it a Hollywood strike. It's meant to diffuse some angered employees that they're doing something. They're not doing nothing with this.
Right.
What I guess from what I'm understanding through this is that AT&T doesn't want to help through their wages, job security, and they want to increase their health insurance copay. Also, they said that the pensions are in play with this. Pensions are part of this also. And that's what all of us, pay attention to what's going on. I'm trying to watch these pensions because it seems now to be it's not just our pensions are under attack from the corporations, but it doesn't seem like our pensions are being protected on behalf of the unions that we are members of. And if you look at a broader picture across the board, because most our unions fall under the umbrella of the AFL-CIO, it just seems like all of our unions are under attack right now. And it appears to be by... listening to other unions, that they're starting to feel the way that the auto workers are feeling, or vice versa. Some union members need to pay attention to what happens at other unions. Case in point, they didn't look at us in the 2011 agreement when we basically slit our own throats in a national contract by capping off our pensions. We changed our own pension language for a few thousand dollars for a signing bonus. People didn't understand how much money you were going to lose. And then turn around, and then what happened? It was the union out in Seattle with Boeing. They capped off their pensions. They took their cost of living. What else did they get, Don? There's three things they got out of them.
Longer contract.
That might have been it. That might have been it. They really and they bought them out for $15,000 bonus. And then when they realized that they capped off their pension and they couldn't accrue any more time after 30 years, they lost their COLA, and I think maybe they did get a longer contract. I can't remember, but
they did it.
Is that what it was?
I'm thinking that's what I was thinking it was. I could be wrong, though.
Right. Well, it's been a while now. You know, it's been, almost 6 years since it happened. But they did it, and they didn't pay attention to what happened with General Motors. I mean, that's my point. We need to pay attention to what's going on in the unions as a whole. In the meantime, I can tell you one thing that's happened. Every union president and vice president have all gotten raises. I can tell you that. And it's amazing that these people who are running these organizations are getting paid higher wages while your members, from whatever union you're at, seem to be in stagnating wages or wage deflation. There are higher co-pays on their insurance. People are losing cost of living, depending on which state you live in. The labor laws are applying differently to different individuals now. And in the meantime, they talk out of the other side of their head, and they're ranting about this and they're ranting about that, but they don't do nothing about it. We're getting into a real, I agree with you, we're losing the union. And it's not because of the rank and file. It's not because of us, the members. It's the leadership. So,
we put everybody in office during an election, so we can't blame anybody but yourself.
Right. That's what I have been saying. You can't blame anybody.
Another side note. I was hoping Brian was going to be here. We need to keep Brother Keller and his family in prayer right now.
Yes.
He's going to be holding some rallies from June 5th to June 16th from 10 o'clock in the morning to 2 p.m. in the afternoon. So that's going to start June 5th. It's called the Equality Through Leadership Reform Rally. And that will be right in front of Solidarity House. So if people are available between June 5th and 16th and you're in that neck of the woods between 10 and 2, I know if you work first shift, that'll kind of cut you out. But second shift people and third shift people can make it, and especially the people that are in your neck of the woods. You know, not that far to drive up to Detroit. You'd think that these people are upset right now that you got temporary workers in doing their jobs while they're out making unemployment. Good time to go have your voice be heard.
Right. Well, Ben, Brian's been tough to reach recently, and I haven't got to pass this through him, but we had talked about this, and you know, there's a lot of people across the country that can't get out here for this. And so I had a very successful campaign for signatures. And I was going to set that up online so that people could, if, you know, you can't get here, then sign this petition and say, this is how I'm feeling and I wish I was there. So this is me standing with you guys. So I'm hoping that that people will get online and look for that. Because I wanted to have it here, but I haven't talked to him. So if they keep up to date on his site, on your guys' site, and there is an actual site for that Reformation rally that they can go to, they'll be able to get a link to that petition and go ahead and sign it in support. You know, that's how you could be standing here if you can't get up here. That's a good way to join.
Good idea.
Excellent.
And is Brian selling T-shirts?
Yes.
Nice looking T-shirt.
That shirt is on there. I like the phrase "Be the line, join the line." And I don't know if you guys seen it. It's on his site. I did a little video for him on that. So that does. You guys get a chance to see that.
You did a
video? I did a video for him for that.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, that's nice.
So it's
handiwork here in these design of the T-shirt. I see your hand.
I'm nothing about that thing with the beading. I don't know where that thing came from. But I am be the line, join the line.
We got about 20 minutes, or about, 19 minutes, 18 minutes left of the show. Real quick, we know that Fiat Chrysler had to recall 1.25 million vehicles. We also know that they're looking at a large, possibly a large fine. And we're talking like about $6.4 billion possibly in fines with their diesels. They're trying to come up with a quick patch so they can do some electronic software patching, I guess, and to have that corrected. So hopefully they don't get as big as a fine as they possibly could. We also know that Ford is hurting right now. Going into the second quarter, they're not doing well. You know, you're almost two-thirds way through your second quarter. They're hurting. I posted a lot of information today on workers' replacement unions, a couple good articles on there that they talk about. Are people crazy for investing in Ford right now? It talks about some of the dilemmas in two of their main markets. And then I come back to General Motors. There's a big battle going on with the billionaire about he wanted to split the stock in two classes. And General Motors this last week, I believe, yesterday, there was a story yesterday, I think in the Free Press, that Friday GM had sent out its fifth letter to shareholders, you know, basically asking them or urging them to vote against a proposal to split GM shares into two classes. And they asked them to reject an alternative slate of board members. Get this, an alternative slate of board members nominated by the activist billionaire investor David Einhorn. So they've already got a whole of the board of directors. So, I mean, I don't know. I would call that a coup almost, wouldn't you?
It sounds like it. Let me get 586 on. 586, you're on.
¿Cómo está?
Whoa.
Hey. What's up, Brian?
How you guys doing?
Oh, good. And of course, the Rebecca just dropped the minute you came on. You must be in trouble. that going on here or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Go ahead.
Power search. It was a power search.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're talking about this in the free press, and I stumbled across something that I posted all this stuff on workers for places and unions. It's from Seeking Alpha website. They said that, you know, General Motors, you know, had a great first quarter, but that their stock failed to appreciate. They said that their stock's been going sideways for about 3 years. But this year, it was a radical change. Well, now they got this guy by the name of David Einhorn with a dual-class proposal. And what he wants to do is he says that this is going to push your investors, you know, the push that the investment waiting for to, you know, make that thing pop, right? What happens is on June 6th, you're going to be voting on this. And they already know that the market's been watching this. They like Einhorn's proposal. So the stock should pop, literally, if this whole thing goes through. But now we're hearing from Mary Barra, telling the shareholders not to vote for this. Don't do this. They got a whole new board of directors ready to go. It looks like a power struggle to me. So June 6th is going to be a very important day to watch what happens at General Motors. And in the meantime, I got to come back to my good buddy, Dennis Williams, president of the UAW, and his little sidekick, Cindy Estrada. How come we're not hearing nothing out of these guys' mouth? You guys said this was your team members. You guys said you're in this together. We're like a family. How come we're not hearing what's happening at mom and dad's place right now, huh? Just want to know.
Family.
Just want to know.
By the way, Rebecca.
They also said they keep the membership informed.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
You're so funny.
Rebecca's phone died, and she's going to have to charge it a little before she can return, just when Brian shows up. So he put a little hex on your phone, Rebecca.
Uh-oh. Got it. Spell on you.
You ruined it for us.
Yeah. Blame it on Keller.
I was plugging your gathering in front of the open house, or the solidarity house. How dare I call it the open house? That sure wouldn't be no open house, would it?
No.
The sold-out house. How's that? Sold-out house.
There you go.
The sold-out house. So it's going to be from June 5th to June 16th, from 10 p.m.
Yeah.
to 2 p.m.?
From 10 to 2.
Right.
So,
10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
My thing is, it's the Equality Through Leadership Reform Rally. As you know, we got ABC Crews. So we need leaders and organizers from different shifts to schedule these rallies at different times so more people can get involved. I said it before. The International is unionizing contract houses behind our back. They push the tier system. They push the TPTs. They pushed more in paying in union dues. They got rid of the job. Help me out here, there, Scott. Not job description, but the classifications.
All right, classifications.
They combined the skilled trades. I mean, the list goes on things that the union has done, which the old union did not stand for. And this new union no longer supporting us. It's obvious. I mean, like they said before, it's best to save the body and cut off the limbs. The proof is in the pudding.
Right.
You got tier system, you got TPTs, and you got contract houses. And none of us are equals. There is no equality. There is no pensions for these people. So this is your chance, Because like I told you, you guys all have your elections. You either had your elections or they're coming up. And for some of us, we got the same people back in office, and some locals had some change. But those people at those locals only have so much power. The bottom line is right. the sold out solidarity house still has more power than the region of the locals, and therefore the locals are going to comply. So the only way to change this is from the top down. And so that's why we came up with the Equality Through Leadership Reform Rally. So I'm hoping that whether you're a TPT, a Tier 2, Tier 1, a retiree, but within the union, I hope you guys come down there and support equality and sound off with your grievances and let the Solidarity House know that you're not pleased with the way they've been negotiating these contracts in favor of the company and not the membership. So right. I hope to see you there at June 5th at 10 a.m. because, like I said the other day, if this don't turn out, I'm done. I'm done fighting because I'm not going to waste my time no more. I'm just going to throw my hands back and let whatever's going to happen, happen. Because everybody keeps talking about what we need to do, but nobody's acting on anything. So right. I'm actually acting on something, and I need your support. I need you guys to come back me, back you. So right. unless these other people that are coming up with these ideas implement them, right now they're just talk. I'm not talk. I'm action. I'm out there fighting. I believe what I'm fighting for.
So if we're going to come, say we're going to come join you, you got a web page or a Facebook page for this now?
Yeah, it's UAW Real Talk, GM Ford or FCA.
Okay. Now, let's say there's people, let's say from a completely different region, okay, and they're not going to be able to make it. You have something that they can sign electronically to show their support?
If you're from another state and you can't make it to Detroit, I fully understand. But I expect you to set up a Equality Through Leadership Reform Rally in front of your region. So if whatever region you're from, that's where you need to go and set up your rally. I'm going to set ours up in front of the Solidarity House.
Right. Now, do you have
because you got
T-shirts available?
Rebecca is in charge of the T-shirts. So from what I was told, she designed the T-shirts and she's selling the T-shirts.
Okay.
So you can get with Rebecca and order the T-shirts through her if you would like.
Okay. Rebecca, you're on.
Hello.
Or you can go to her page, Restore Unity Project. So get with Rebecca because she's got the shirts and she designed the shirts. So if you want a shirt, order them through Rebecca.
Okay.
Yes, you can definitely get them there. And I hadn't got the chance to talk with you, Brian, about that. I mentioned to them that I was working on a petition for those people who can't join us, that they can. I had a successful petition set up for the part-time workers and our union do things. And I think it's a great way for those people. I agree with you. I think they should do something local. But if they want to support us during the days of the Detroit rallies, that they should get online and sign that when it's available to be signed. So then we can have a list of names and say, hey, you know, these people can't make it, but they're here with us in spirit and here, and here's what I have to show you. And I think that would say something. I think it said something for us when we did it for our union dues issue. I think it would say something to Detroit for this as well. So.
No, I agree. So yeah, just put that, post that, and let the people sign the petition. We'll take that with us, and we'll put pressure on every corner of the leadership, whether it's at the local level, the region. So if you're out of state, like I said, hit your region up. We're going to hit the solidarity up. So there's no reason, if you're from Kentucky or wherever you're from, that you can't get involved by putting pressure on your regions. And hopefully, and while we're putting pressure at the Solidarity House, they'll start feeling our pressure. And we can start sounding off with our grievances. And, you know, the only way to make a change is through numbers. We got to have the people down there to make that change. 25 people ain't going to do it.
Correct. As we know, we're just going to say, this is going to be the last show until the week after Labor Day. And we'll be back. We'll take the summer off like we used to. Unless there's something that's really special or just earth-shattering, we'll post that on one of the Facebook pages. Other than that, we're all planning on taking the summer off. And we, if possible, we need to try to get down and support Brian. Support us. Support yourself. The membership.
Yeah, this ain't supporting me. This is supporting all of us. One more thing, Scott. Remember last year we talked about doing a live broadcast at the Labor Day parade, and we never did it. We should try to do that this year.
I got to have some Wi-Fi. Is there any Wi-Fi around there? Are we close?
That's
to
okay, because you could get away with you could get away with hotspots. You don't need Wi-Fi. Hotspots.
And not just that, we can go live with our phones because Facebook's got live,
right.
You know, Facebook Live.
Yeah, true too.
Hey Don, if you wanna run to 8:30, we can run to 8:30.
Now you tell me. Now you say. I told you can't tell me the last. I'm hustling. See if I can change this.
I'm hustling. I'm sorry.
Uh-oh. Picking, how is it? Oh, there it is. 90. Bam. Save. Bam. Did I make it in time? I made it in time. Go ahead. Carry on.
Okay. Okay, so could we be saying goodbyes right now? And continue, Brian. I didn't mean to interrupt. Continue.
Well, like I've been telling the people, I mean, when you look at happen to the skilled trades vote, the skilled trades vote just got totally shut down during the last contract and the contract before, I believe. And they combined the skilled trades. They got alternative work schedules. They got people working on straight. Oh, go ahead, Scott. I'm sorry.
Chrysler lost the most, by the way, of all the consolidation of the trades. I believe Chrysler lost 13 out of hand. 13 trades.
So that should tell you something. I mean, everybody, we all got something to lose, whether you're skilled trades or you're retiree, your TPT, or you're one of the tiers. Now, I believe there's a UAW bikers club out there. Am I correct? You guys know of this club?
I don't know.
What is it?
I could have swore somebody posted the other day something about a UAW bikers club. If there is a bikers club, I would hope they would show up for this and show their support. Since you are union, and I'm hoping to see the retirees and skilled trades and the tiers and the TPTs out there, because we're all losing something. And it's obvious with the list of things that we've told you over the years that we've lost, and the fact that we lack equality and the fact that we lack pensions is all the reason to go out there and fight. All the reason to go out there and make your voices heard. Because remember, when this union was established, they fought for these things. Once upon a time, we didn't have pensions or health care or equality or safe plants. They fought for these things and they got them. Now, because we're not fighting anymore, they're taking it all back. So
right.
You guys got to get back up, take a stand, and start fighting again in order to get these things back. And it's going to take every single one of us to do it. And the only one
right.
is able to change this for us is our leadership. They're the only ones recognized under the National Labor Relations Board as our negotiators. They're the only ones that can change this for us. But they're not going to change it if you guys are not willing to stand up to the leadership and force them to do their job.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because like I said, on a local level, they only got so much power. They can only do so much. So they
right.
don't have the power to change the things that we need changed on an international level. Because the international is suppressing the local levels. They're threatening them, basically saying, you either comply or we don't negotiate any new product line for your plant. Or you won't get a position at the Solidarity House or the region. Whatever they're saying, they're holding us back. So we need to take
right.
a stand, and we need to tell the Solidarity House this ain't how the union works. The union is built by the membership. The membership is the body, not the leadership. So we got to demand that they start representing us fairly. Somebody typing?
Yeah,
I am.
Oh.
I'm finishing this petition so I can get it uploaded before the show's over.
Oh,
okay. Just some quick fingers there, kid. I'm not going to say any more.
Yeah. So I guess as before you join us, Brian, I was just talking about that all the unions, it appears to be, are all under attack. It appears that the leadership from these unions, various unions, are all doing about the same thing. Not a whole lot to help the workers, the members out. But they're all gotten raises in the last couple of years. They've all gotten raises. And it appears that the members that they represent and the corporations that they're supposed to, like you said, be our legal voice against, they are all making record profits, I guess for a better term, record profits. So I don't know where this is going to go. People need to realize if you don't do something now, like Rebecca said earlier, we've lost our unions. So, Rebecca talked about some people that, some temporaries that were so upset that we have people now who are going in and are asking to sign off. Being a union member. They're utilizing the right to work state. So, or the right to work law, I should say. Interesting situation. Got temporaries going in that don't want to pay union dues no more because they realize that they're being treated like yesterday's garbage.
Yeah, why pay for that?
Yeah. You know? I'd like to say at our local, there's been some incidents with the temporaries. None have been, that I know of, have been, you know, fired or reprimanded very heavily. I mean, but like I said, this on-call system, you know, is bad.
Yeah, you got to be saddled with it. By the phone at certain times.
Right.
And if you skip and don't answer that phone call, I believe that puts you at the bottom of the list.
Right.
If it like it used to be.
Right. Well, it just seems to be that it's the same way. Like to talk about the CWA. I mean, we can go back a few years, go back to Boeing. AT&T right now in a couple different places with the electricians union. We're all in this fight together, people. All of us. And if you're not a union member, you need to understand that without us having what we have and what we used to fight for, you don't get what you have also.
And that's true, because if the UAW or any union wages go down or our benefits go down, if you're not union, that means you're going to make less as well.
Exactly.
Because everything is based off of us. And I'm going to tell you something. I've told you guys this before. This show is not anti-union. We all believe in a union. We believe in the old union that fought for their membership to give us the benefits and wages that we have. And in order to keep that, we have to fight for these things.
Right.
Because the middle class is shrinking right now, and not just the middle class. The poor people are getting even poorer. So whether you're union or you're non-union, you're still labor. We all have to stand together and fight to progress and move forward together.
Right. And I'm gonna springboard off that. There was a reason why the people down at Volkswagen and the people down south at all the plants were paid as well as they were when they started out. It's because they didn't want the union there. So if I pay them a decent wage, they'll not ask to be a union member, not knowing what they're missing out on the benefits of being a union member. Now people are starting to understand it. Now you see how heavily the people are fighting for a union. You see how heavily that the corporations are fighting against it. We're going to court, we're going to law, we're going to see what this does and see what that does, go see what this says. And at the same time, the union that used to fight to get these people the rights, their benefits, and some of their dignity back, the only reason they want them is because they get more dues money. So it's a real slippery slope that we're sliding on right now, and somebody has to put some brakes on. And the only one who can apply the brakes is you. If you don't do this for yourself, we'll all pay. We'll all pay. Just saying.
And you guys got to remember something. The economy is global. So these companies are playing each country's labor market against each other for cheaper labor. So when you hear the news media talk about North American losses, but they're not talking about global gains, there's an issue there. And the only way to stay viable and competitive with the foreign competition or foreign labor is to bring our wages and benefits down. And so that means everybody around the world is going to be making chump change with no benefits if we keep going down this path. And the problem is this leadership, whether it be the UAW leadership or the USW, the CWA, or the IBEW, nobody's standing together and shutting these companies down when we had the chance. Because we are not the ones that run these companies. We are not the ones that set the process. We are not the ones that set the policies. They run this business, and they're running these businesses in the ground, and it's labor that takes the hit. And I'm tired of taking the hit for management's mismanagement. And I'm tired of the union. I'm tired of the union leadership not standing up to management for their mismanagement.
Right. And the point I'm going to say on this is you're right. We're in a global economy. Unless you're General Motors. General Motors has basically been forced out of Venezuela because of their economy collapsing. They've gotten out of Europe. They sold off Opel, Vauxhall. They sold them off. They're no longer going to build vehicles in India anymore. They're getting out of South Africa. General Motors is shrinking themselves from a global, as far as production, and coming back to North America, they're going to take, they did say that with all these closures and getting out of these different countries, that they're going to invest more money heavily into China and Brazil. So that's where we're at. It's, you know,
and there was
boards in a pickle.
There was another article I seen not too long ago, maybe within the week, sometime last week, I seen that General Motors was starting to look at the idea of merging with Fiat Chrysler Automotive now. Now, it was an article, a news article, and you know how news articles is. I don't know it to be true or not, but they, Auto News did report on it, and so, you know, it could be on the back burner, you know. Because if you remember back in 2008, or even prior to 2008, when we were going through the bankruptcies and through the bailouts, the government says we got too many automakers. And Chrysler always seems to be the one that's taking the hit because we got milked by Daimler Chrysler. We got milked by Cerberus and now Fiat Chrysler. Or Fiat. So if the talks are back on the table about merging General Motors and Fiat Chrysler Automotive, there could be a lot of job losses. So we have to make sure that we get our leadership back in line to represent the membership before we lose any more jobs. And before we lose any more benefits or rights, we need to start changing this. You guys remember, you work for the big three. You don't work for the UAW. You guys pay the UAW for representation. And if you don't feel that they're representing you, you have a right under the National Labor Relations Board to your union protected activity, your asserted union protected activity. You have a right to stand up against your leadership if you feel that they're doing you wrong. Now, I've told you guys before, I don't agree with backing out of paying union dues because we're not trying to collapse a union, because once you collapse a union, we don't have the resources to fight these companies then. But I am in, and I truly believe in leadership reform, and that's what I believe we need. But I think the only way it's going to happen is by us approaching the leadership at the Solidarity House, because you can change the local leadership. You can send all the delegates you want to the national convention or even to the UAW constitutional convention, and nothing changes. I'm just saying that that's their system that they designed. And when you go down there, they suppress that membership. There's only a handful of that the delegates that go down there that have the actual balls to stand up against the leadership, but majority of them stay silent. And as long as we continue to have delegates that are not willing to fight for the membership, we're going to keep going down the wrong path. And we don't have that kind of time because we're losing. We're losing bad. And so we need to start taking a stand now. And so we need to approach the Solidarity House at the doorstep and start sounding off with our grievances and letting them know that we're not happy with the status quo and we want changes now. We need these changes now. Because while these CEOs are making, these companies are making record profits and these CEOs are making million-dollar bonus packages with stock options, and the shareholders are making out and the top execs are making out, we're losing out. The labor is losing out. We got to establish equality in order to get solidarity back.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you guys, if you've been watching the government or the state or private sector, like the city of Detroit, they've been cutting pensions or pulling pensions. I mean, I've been seeing news articles on it. So it's only a matter of time that they're going to reach the unions and they're going to start pulling our pensions or cutting our pensions, and anything's possible. And I don't want to get to that point. So I think we need to stand up now before we do get to that point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, it's, like I said, the slippery slope, Ron. Somebody's got to start throwing some brakes on it. Not for just for us doing a show or Brian being out in front of Solidarity House. It's for everybody to get involved. Even if you have just a little bit of a concern what's happening, do something. Do something. You got the same people. Like in our local elections, you got people that just jockey positions. I mean, I'm not comfortable with how they went down and who got elected. Did I run this time? Nope. I put myself out there enough. There was a new lady who ran. Bless her heart. She did not win, but she put her mouth where her money was. She went out there and she ran for something. Okay? It takes a lot. And a lot of our locals don't operate the way they should. That's just my opinion, but I hear enough feedback from different locals and different places around, whether it be Ford, Chrysler, or General Motors. I'm not going to say it is what it is, but it is what it shouldn't be. So,
I don't even trust the election process, to tell you the truth. It reminds me of the election process for the country. I mean, anything could be hacked or anything could be manipulated, and
sure.
And you look at these elections on a local level, you get a fresh batch of TPTs in, and the first faces they see is the ones that are already in office. So any newcomers that are running against them, these TPTs don't know who they are. So they just vote for the ones they see at first, right?
Right. Or they take them right down to the voting booth. Oh, see how you're right here. Follow me. This is where you go vote. And here, this is the people that we're kind of endorsing. They got your best interest at heart here.
And the fact that TPTs get the vote and the retirees no longer get the vote, that totally has me baffled.
Right. Right.
Because of all these years of the retirees paying union dues and fighting and getting the things that we had, or some of the things we still have, but they fought for these things, and now they don't even have the right to vote.
Right. Right.
So, but it doesn't mean that the retirees can't come out and support us, because supporting us is us supporting you, because we can continue to fight and put pressure on the Solidarity House. And though there's nothing legal, we can still put pressure to have the Solidarity House say, hey, we're willing to go on strike unless these retirees get some type of increase in their pension.
Right.
Or you better their VEBA, because I don't understand why the Solidarity House has got a separate VEBA from the membership.
Right.
To me, they should have the exact same VEBA as us. They fought to get the VEBA in court, but they should have fell under the same VEBA that we have, not their own private VEBA.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't want to take care of us. They don't. I'm sorry. Look at the contractual language and what they've allowed. That's done at us, to us. So I don't know.
And that's why it's going to take every single one of us to get out there in front of the Solidarity House at June 5th at 10 a.m. on a Monday and start sounding off with our grievances. If you guys are on a different shift, we need leaders and organizers to schedule other times so everybody can participate in this. And if you're out of state, then you should engage by getting down there and throwing a rally in front of your regions, because we have to put pressure on the leadership throughout the country. So if you're in your different
right.
state, put the pressure on your local regions, and it's going to, believe me, the pressure will finally reach the Solidarity House, because between us being at the Solidarity House and you being at your regions, they're going to get tired of it. They're going to have to
right.
do something.
Right.
So what's put the pressure on the leadership throughout the country? So if you're in Kentucky, you're Indiana, Illinois, wherever you're at, New York, put the pressure on that leadership and force the change.
Right.
Because I'm standing for you, so I hope you guys stand for me as well. Because me, Scott, Don, Rebecca, we don't make it without you. So
right.
the only way we have strength is through you. And you guys do not work for the UAW. You work for the Big Three. Therefore, don't worry about repercussions, because if we come out in numbers, there's nothing they can do.
You're absolutely right.
Right. Well, I want to reiterate real quick. Sidestep that if we need to do a special show, we'll have that posted on one or all the Facebook pages that we're affiliated with. So if something happens over the summer, we'll make some communications towards that. Like I said, it just seems to be here real evident here in the last 3-4 months that all of our unions are under attack right now. And as Brian would say, in a global economy right now, these corporations are doing well. If they weren't, they wouldn't be in business anymore. We're having some bad, appears to be bad leadership at the corporations. We got bad leadership out at Solidarity House that isn't watching out for our best interests, in my opinion. So we need to, as Brian would say, we need to show, a show of force to say, show up and support this at Detroit in front of Solidarity House. Then, you know, satellite out to different regions if we have to. So we should be doing. I don't know if people will do it or not. I hope you will.
And as far as Nissan, you know, Toyota and Honda and Tesla and all those other companies, I'm telling you, think about it before you unionize. Because if the union is not taking care of us and they cannot fight for the rights of us here in the North, I would hold off on becoming union right now, because the UAW leadership has taken contract houses and unionized them behind their backs. They agreed to a tier system, and they're backfilling these plants with TPTs. They can do the same to you guys. So you think you got it bad now. If the union gets in there and starts doing to you what they did to us, you guys are going to be worse off. And it's my belief, right, if they bring down the South even further, that means, guess what? They're going to bring us in the North even further down, because we have to stay viable and competitive with you and the rest of the world. So just kind of hold off before you fight to bring the union in, because they got to fix us here in the North first. And until they show that, I wouldn't become part of this union.
Well, I would say that if you need to know, what's involved, you need to become a union member. And I know that the folks on Volkswagen asked them some pretty straightforward questions. The only answer they had was a blanketed answer, was that you'd have a voice. Well, they already got a voice. So, like I said, I'm not against unionizing. I just want to know what I'm going to get for my dollar. That's all. You know.
And I agree with that. I agree with that. And though the union said you got a voice, that voice only goes so far, because they'll block you, and they'll keep that voice from going any further. Trust me, they've done it to us. So your voice is limited, even though you have a voice. But at the end of the day, it's the UAW leadership that makes the decisions for the rest of us. And right now, they're not making the right decisions. They're taking us down the wrong path. And the only one that's benefiting from this is the company, because they're getting tiers, they're getting TPTs, and they're unionizing contract houses. Therefore, they're getting cheap labor. And the Solidarity House, they're getting headcount and more union dues. But labor's not moving forward. So I'm just letting you know, though I agree that I'm all for unionizing, but only if your leadership is willing to work for the membership. If they're not gonna represent us or you and your interests, I would hold off until they start showing us that they stand with labor and they're not going to stand intertwined with management.
Right.
And that's my opinion.
Right.
Because it's unethical for a union to hold stocks in the very companies we work for. It's unethical for a union to agree to scab out their membership and bring in a contract house and unionizing them behind our backs. It's unethical for a union to not support equality, not to support pensions, to agree to a tier system, or to even backfill with TPTs. That is so un-union and unethical, it's not even funny.
We've only got about 7 seconds to go, and I'd like to thank some people. I got to thank Terry Tobias, T-Bones. Thank you, buddy. He's been around all year long. I really appreciate him. He's a good guy. Danjan for sending me some great emails, and Jim Mattis, thank you for sending me some emails, and everybody else, the girls that love Brian, he still has his, you know what I'm talking about, he still has them. He doesn't have his Jeep, but he still has his stuff, his junk, as they call it. I've been up the show just a little bit. And all the people down in Texas, Arlington, thank you for your support. And it's going to get hot this summer. Drink plenty of water. Your turn, Scott.
Wentzville, yeah. Everybody around that listens to the show, mostly are union members. Some are non-union members. Spouses, retirees. We do. We thank you all. And we're trying to do the best we can do to go forward and try to get you some information. That's this weekend.
And on behalf of me, Brian, Rebecca, and Scott, have a great summer and stay safe. Enjoy it. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.